You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in to the April Fool's Day edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it as we come your way through the 3 o'clock hour on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. The first two frequencies, by the way, in Cedar Rapids. KGYM radio stream, your mobile app, and your smart speaker. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes will join me coming up in a moment. Scott Unash from the captain's chair here in our studios. Good show coming up for you. We're going to talk college basketball. A lot to discuss. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us here in just a little bit. We've got coaching vacancies. Couple more big ones. Well, yes, two big ones. One has been taken care of. And we'll talk about that. We'll take a look at the Final Four coming up this weekend. We'll preview the Drake Relays as well. Blake Bolden, the director of the Drake Relays, is going to join us today as the Great Classic is back after 2020 and the pandemic. And we'll talk about what to expect at the Big Blue Oval coming up. And we've got Major League Baseball opening day coming your way. We are, of course, in the midst of it, and that includes Jim OT, 107.5 FM. The Minnesota Twins home opener is meandering along as we speak. The Twins and the Brewers in the bottom of the fourth inning with a 3-1 Twins lead right now, with one eye, perhaps at least a half of an eye, on the Twins game, and the rest on with us here. We bring in Mark Dukes on this sunny but cool opening day afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Scott. I'm doing well, everyone. Scott, I'm watching the Cubs. Come on. Oh, yeah, I said I wasn't going to go that April Fool's route. Okay.
Oh, there you go. You got me. You got me. I saw where you were coming from now. We talked about this yesterday. You and I are both not big April Fool's jokesters. Buttons is not a big April Fool's jokester either, he said. So, happy All Fool's Day to everybody out there that are part. And there are people that are partaking some really good stuff on social networking today. And just, hope you have a good time with it out there if you're doing it.
Yeah, I think George Kittle, the former Iowa tight end, pulled one this afternoon and photoshopped a picture of him in what, a Jags uniform?
Yeah.
Said looking forward to the next chapter.
See, that's not something to do. If I was a 49er fan, that would have caused me to do any number of different things. And I mean, I get it. And it's April 1st. You got to think about everything going on today. But that's not the thing to do to the faithful, as they're called, for the 49ers. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. We got golf going on as well. The Valero Texas Open in San Antonio. Zach Johnson taking part in that particular tournament as the PGA Tour is 1 week away from their first major of 2021. And that, of course, the Masters. The tradition unlike any other from Augusta National, and we'll update you on Zach coming up in a moment. But it is opening day. It's there's something about this day, Mark. Even though baseball isn't what baseball was at one time, hope still springs eternal, doesn't it, on opening day?
Yeah, I'm just watching today, starting with the Yankees and Blue Jays, and flipping through a few games, and now concentrating on the Twins. I think the most gratifying thing to me is not only seeing baseball, but seeing fans in the stands, albeit on a limited basis. It makes so much of a difference, real noise versus piped in noise. You could see on the when they pan the crowd, the joy in people's faces to be able to watch baseball once again. And that's just a great thing to see.
Yeah, it is. Right now we've got five games underway. There have been a couple of postponements today, one due to COVID. That being the game that we were supposed to have from ESPN for you, the Mets and the Nationals tonight. That game has been postponed. Also, the Orioles and the Red Sox has been postponed today. And instead, ESPN is now going to bring the Astros and the A's for you tonight. Zach Greinke against Bassett for the A's. That game to be played in Oakland. So that will get started at 9 o'clock tonight, coming your way here on all of our frequencies of KGYM. So make that notation, if you will, in the schedule. We go from a 6 o'clock game to a 9 o'clock game. So,
yeah, I think the highlight of the day for me so far, Scott, is in that one of the first games when they're playing in Cleveland is playing at Detroit amidst snowflakes, moderate snowfall, and Miguel Cabrera hits an opposite field home run, and he didn't realize it. He slid into second base. And then, oh, okay, yeah, a round tripper. So he completed the circling of the bases. But a lot of video out there on that is kind of humorous, really.
It is the most humorous thing that has ever happened in the baseball season of 2021. Can I get that right now, Mark, at 3:10 Central?
Fair enough, so far, yeah.
Okay, very good. Very good. 319-366-1600. A little college basketball note for you. First of many accolades, Luka Garza has been named the AP Player of the Year. So congratulations to him. There'll be more accolades.
Yeah. He was also named the Lute Olson Player of the Year today as well.
Yeah. We'll get to, speaking of Lute, the late great Lute Olson, we'll get to something about that coming up in a little bit. Right now, baseball, they are through four. In Milwaukee, it's the Twins on top of the Brewers 3-1. They're also through four in Chicago. Pirates lead the Cubs 3-2. Pirates have already knocked out Kyle Hendricks in that game. Ninth inning, Indians trying to make a comeback here. The Tigers holding off the Indians right now 3-2 with two out and nobody on in the ninth inning. Blue Jays and the Yankees in the ninth inning in the Bronx are tied at 2. And the Phillies leading the Braves 2-0. That one in the bottom of the third. Whole bunch of games about to get underway. Cardinals and the Reds from Cincinnati. Remember when the Reds used to have the traditional opener, Mark, at about 11 o'clock in the morning? Remember that?
I do, but I certainly like all the teams starting on the same day.
I do, too. I still think they should give Cincinnati the nod, though. Being old school, I still think the Reds should get that, but... whatever. It is what it is. Tampa Bay is taking on the Marlins. The world champion LA Dodgers in Denver to take on the Rockies. That's just underway. Texas and Kansas City just getting underway. And Arizona and San Diego just getting underway. And then three games tonight, all beginning at 9 o'clock Central on the coast. It'll be the Astros and the A's, as we mentioned, right here on KGYM and all of our frequencies. The White Sox, Lucas Giolito, taking on the Angels coming up tonight from the Big A, and the Giants and the Mariners will go at it coming up this evening as well. So that's your opening day baseball lineup out there for you. 319-366-1600. Mentioned Zach Johnson on the course right now, Mark, at the Valero Texas Open with two of the three leaders right now, native Texans. How about that?
That is correct. Zach has won this tournament twice, although it was on a different course. He's had four PGA Tour victories in the state of Texas, so he tends to like that state. Right now, he's even par through six holes, one bogey, one birdie, and we'll bring you up to date on his progress. Those Texans you mentioned, Jordan Spieth in the lead out early, 500 par 67. He has a one-stroke lead over fellow Texan Scottie Scheffler and Tom Hoagie.
Not sure where Tom Hoagie is from. Maybe I should look.
more important fish to fry than Tom Hoagie. I'm sorry, Tom.
I'm going to look right now. He did go to TCU. But he is a native of North Carolina.
All right.
Native in North Carolina, but did attend TCU, so probably played at that course throughout his career as far as his collegiate career is concerned. But yeah, we'll let you know how Zach is doing right now, as you mentioned, sitting there at even par. 319-366-1600. We have football. Before we get to the college basketball and before we talk to Kevin Lehman about that, the Iowa football program today with some news as far as the general public is concerned, Mark. And good news if you want to catch a glimpse of the Hawkeyes, at least this spring.
Iowa announced that there will be two open practices at Kinnick Stadium the mornings of April 17th and May 1st. 9:30 starts, I believe, there.
Yep.
There will be protocols in place, but an opportunity for fans to get a glimpse one day or 2 days, however you may choose, of the 2021 Iowa Hawkeyes. And also announced the return of Fry Fest on September 3rd at Iowa River Landing, I think, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And that's always a very popular event. They're going to honor recently passed Lute Olson and Hayden Fry and Bump Elliott. So another good sign of things returning at least somewhat more normal.
Yeah, you would think it may be a subdued year as far as Fry Fest is concerned, but you just think and you go, Hayden would not want that. Hayden would want to have a high porch picnic.
No doubt about it.
I'm sure. So I think they will oblige the former coach with that, with Fry Fest for this year, for the opener for the Iowa Hawkeyes, as football season not too far off, but let's get through the summer first and foremost. 319-366-1600. College basketball front and center, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Final Four or on-court stuff, but two big, big, big stories today, probably none bigger than the retirement of Roy Williams as the head coach in the North Carolina Tar Heels. There was some speculation about it through the year, a little bit as they went through the tournament, but I was still surprised a little bit today as Roy Williams steps down from one of the very, very high-profile jobs as far as college hoops is concerned.
No doubt about it. Roy's 70 years old, extremely distinguished career. Don't have to go through all the numbers and whatnot, but a lot of folks out there, including the Duke program, throwing congratulations Roy Williams' way. And as you know, Scott, he was the Iowa Invader.
Oh, yes.
He came into Iowa and plucked Nick Collison, Kirk Heinrich, Rafael France, Marcus Page, Harrison Barnes. You probably saw him at least once or twice in a high school gym, huh?
Yes, I did. Very much so. And, yeah, Roy was a showman. Can I say that? Roy was a showman. And I remember Roy at gyms, yes. Remember Roy at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines, front and center, when his recruits were playing at the state tournament. And usually, as you know, Mark, usually the coaches that are there to watch, they usually do not make themselves front and center. They usually kind of hide in the upper decks, if you will, or at least the second deck, and they don't. Oh no, not Roy. Roy was a couple times. Once Roy was behind the bench, and once Roy was in the front row, and Roy was signing autographs. Roy was signing everything. I still remember team championship trophies are being given out. There's Roy Williams on the floor. Why? You know, media can't get out there, Lord knows, or any other people, but Roy Williams is out there on the floor, you know, almost handing out all tournament medals. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Was that with Ames or Lindmar?
That was Ames.
Okay.
That was with Ames. But there as well from when Marcus Page was there. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, he's that's the personality of Roy Williams, for good or for bad. He was a showman, And it's going to be interesting to see what North Carolina is going to do. Of course, North Carolina does a lot like, I think a lot like Michigan and Ohio State in the Big Ten, Mark. They do not venture away from the family to go and look for coaches, especially as far as basketball is concerned. There's already speculation. Oh, Mark Few is going to North Carolina after he wins a championship at Gonzaga. I don't know if that's going to be the case. If I'm Carolina, heck yeah, I'm asking Mark Few if he is interested. There is no doubt about it. I don't know if Mark Few wants to make that trip, but he is outside the family as far as Carolina basketball is concerned. But that is a plum job out there, no doubt about that. We'll get Kevin Lehman's thoughts about it coming up. You got that, and then you've got an opening in Lubbock because Chris Beard, unless this was an April Fool's Day joke. If these are April Fool's Day jokes, Mark, please let me know, okay?
Okay.
Chris Beard is going to take over the Texas Longhorns, correct?
That is correct. I don't think that's a joke.
Might be down the line for Chris Beard if he doesn't win national championships every year. But good luck. Good luck, Chris. I think it's a – yes, Texas is the king of the Lone Star State. There is no doubt about it. But what looks to be a terrific season in Lubbock, Texas – is not a terrific season in Austin, Texas. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think Shaka Smart found that out. He's decided to go to Marquette. And Shaka had some nice seasons at Texas, but not up to Texas standards. Everything's bigger in Texas, especially at the University of.
True. Very true. So Chris Beard goes from Lubbock to Austin out there. 319-366-1600. 0835. Mark Few has the number one recruit coming in next season and a couple possible transfers. Cannot see him leaving. I don't think Mark Few's leaving Gonzaga myself. Why would you? He's got a great thing up there. 5268. Great news about Garza coming back. April Fools. Yeah, thank you. See, that's just like the whole, that's the Kittle thing right there, right? You're playing on the emotions of a fan base right there, Dave.
Way to go, Dave. Yeah, way to go.
319-366-1600 as we come your way at 322. We're going to take a break, come back. Got waiting in the wings, the coach, Kevin Lehman. We'll get his thoughts about the Carolina and Texas jobs, Texas Tech as well. What are the Red Raiders going to do to replace Chris Beard? Talk about the Final Four. We'll talk Drake Relays. We'll get you Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night as well. You're listening to The Gym Class for this Thursday, the 1st of April. Coming your way right here on KGYM. More after this.
The tournament is down to just four teams. Baylor, Houston, Gonzaga, and UCLA. So if you've been watching from the sidelines, now is your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel is hooking you up with exclusive 40-1 odds on all four teams left in the bracket, even the favorites. That's right. New users get 40-1 odds on any team to win this round. You can win $200 on a $5 bet, even if you bet on Gonzaga or Baylor. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock the exclusive 40-1 odds. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Spring forward at Banana Republic Factory with 50 to 70% off everything. Shop season favorites from colorful dresses to easy tops from $19.99. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory. Enjoy 50 to 70% off almost everything at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Shop tees from $6.99 and joggers from $24.99. Plus, extra 15% off online. Exclusions apply. Shop the sale through April 6th.
Guys, we need to clear a path here.
Indeed knows unexpected employee turnover can stall your business.
John.
Like at Chris's logistics company, to avoid things grinding to a halt, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
We welcome you back at 324 Gym Class, coming your way on this Thursday here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you out there. We're going to talk some college basketball here in just a moment after we remind you that you can go to WeddingDayIA.com. You can check out the Z102.9 Bridal Fashion Show, featuring beautiful gowns from Heart to Heart Bridal, the latest looks from Prince Albert tuxedos and suits, and more. Again, that website, WeddingDayIA.com. That's WeddingDayIA.com. Coach Chris Lehman joining us. Kevin. Chris is a sponsor. We'll get this right. It's brought to you by Chris Lehman at ShootersHomes.com. Give him a check as far as his website is concerned, with over 20 years in HVAC design in the Iowa City area. And happy April Fool's Day, Kevin. Are you a jokester on the April Fool's Day, or do you just kind of sit back like Mark and I and take it all in?
I wish, Scott, I had a good one for you, but I don't. I kind of sit back, and I've been fooled a few times, though, on April Fool's.
Well, that's
some April Fool's jokes.
That's why I kind of, when I first saw the two big stories today in college basketball, I said, whoa, wait a minute. What is today? But I think they are both true out there. Let's start with North Carolina. Roy Williams stepping down after all these years at Kansas. Very successful there, ultra successful at North Carolina. Tar Heels tend to stay within their family, in quote marks, for coaches in the basketball program. What do you see?
Well, does that family also include former Kansas players? Because if it does, it widens up that spectrum even more. But I think, I'm hearing Hubert Davis, who long ago was ESPN analyst, and then he's been on Roy's staff. Wes Miller, North Carolina guy who's had great success at NC Greensboro, is another name that's come up. Steve Robinson, who's on the staff, been a head coach at Tulsa, at Florida State. And then if you go outside to the Kansas family, it's Jared Haas at Stanford, another name that might get kicked around a little bit. So I found it interesting timing, though, Scott. It looked, as you watched Roy through this season, he looked wore out.
Yeah.
I think between the COVID-19 issues and he had 3 point guards in 3 years, it wasn't the North Carolina that we'd seen in the past. I think it just kind of ate into him. And with the transfer portal, all that's going on, I think it was a good time for Roy to go out on his own terms.
Kevin, were you surprised to see Chris Beard take the Texas job?
No, I was not. But he's got a sweet deal at Lubbock, Mark, when you talk about it, because they're building a new arena there. But I think Texas, the ability to recruit, and the name of Texas, even though we hear it, we think it's a football school, we have the Battle of Texas on Saturday between Houston and Baylor. So this is not only a football state. It's become a hot basketball state. I think his ability to get high-level recruits is going to be much easier in Austin, Texas than in Lubbock. And they're opening a new arena at UT. And he's got some background there, too. So, no, it doesn't surprise me. I think the people, though, at Texas Tech, have got to be heartbroken because they had struggled for so long and found their guy. Took them to the Final Four in 2019. They got to be heartbroken. And who can – and this is a guy that had the fireside chats, would drink beers, was a Coors Light guy. He was kind of a Lubbock-type guy, and we know Austin's a little bit more upper-end than Lubbock.
Expectations, though, when you throw the burnt orange on, as you know, Kevin.
I tell you what, though, Scott, I've done some games, Chris Beard's games, and I think he embraces that. I think that's the type of guy. He loves the challenge, and I just think deep down he feels he can get much more done at Texas than he can at Texas Tech. So that doesn't surprise me because I think he's wired for those types of expectations. I think he embraces those expectations. And we'll see if it's a good fit. I think it's going to be.
Who gets the Texas Tech job then?
Well, I say that's a tough one because you got a really tough act to follow there because Bid was so well-liked, and then this is just kind of a blue-collar guy there. I don't even know. I haven't even looked at the names for Texas Tech, but we've got a lot of turnover in the Big 12. You know, Big 10 is going to have three new coaches, so this makes four in the Big 12, which, as we know, only has 10 teams, so big-time turnover. And I tell you, Shaka Smart going to Marquette, that kind of surprised me, but when you look at the big picture, it didn't. He really struggled to have any success in the NCAA tournament, Shaka Smart. It's kind of a safe landing zone for Shaka going back to Marquette, his home state of Wisconsin. I think that might be a better fit for him than Texas was.
T.J. Otzelberger is already has moved up to like sixth or seventh now in the longevity pecking order of the Big 12, and he hasn't coached a game yet.
Yeah, it's not over yet either. This carousel of coaches is just winding. It's just getting wound up now because it was kind of slow last year because of the COVID-19 had just hit. So I think we're seeing this year much more movement in the basketball world than we've seen in a couple years.
Final four is set, Kevin, as you know. Let's look at the first game, I guess, Gonzaga and UCLA. UCLA is a story in and of itself. What are your thoughts on that game?
Well, first of all, I've got to talk about the Bruins. They stuck the knife in the Big Ten into Michigan and just twisted it as the Big Ten bowed out again without a team to win a national championship and no Final Four teams after nine in there. And so Bill Walton's Conference of Champions, I got to give Bill a little credit here because the Pac-12 did well in this NCAA tournament. And UCLA, you think about this, Mark and Scott, this is the most prestigious program in America, if you look at the history of UCLA basketball. And they did all this as the underdog. This run has been as an underdog. And I love Mick Cronin. I've done games with him. He's at Cincinnati. Fiery, tough little dude. But I don't think they have much of a chance against Gonzaga. Is that team, that's a team we'll be talking about for ages, that Gonzaga team. They've only had one win less than double digits. That was at BYU back in February. This team is loaded. UCLA is going to try and slow it down and slug it out. I don't think you can slow down Gonzaga. They have just got too much talent. And Drew Timmy is on a whole other planet right now.
I thought that USC would give them a game for a while anyway. And it was, I described it, I think, on the day after. It was like a cat playing with a mouse through the first half. And you know, Gonzaga took the foot off the pedal in the last 4 or 5 minutes of that game.
Well, they said the Mobley boys, Isaiah and Evan, were going to give Gonzaga trouble inside. Scott and Mark, they had 46 points in the paint, Gonzaga did. You're right. It was like a cat, you know, like a kitten playing with a mouse. That game was over in 10 minutes. It was a shocker. I thought USC could give them some resistance. And when you watch what they did USC, you just think, boy, unless Mick Cronin really has some tricks up his sleeve. How can you say slow down this team? They come at you so fast in so many ways, ability to score in the paint with the three ball. I don't think UCLA has much of a chance in this thing.
Baylor or Houston, which team reaches the championship game, Kevin?
Mark, I like this matchup. And here's why. Because what Baylor does poorly, which is rebound the basketball, at the defensive end, Houston excels at. This is a Houston team that they basically throw it up and go get it back. They're getting over 40% of their misses. And Kelvin Sampson, you talk about a hard-nosed, tough dude. This will be a battle. I really think it is. And Baylor, boy, their guards were unbelievable the other night. I didn't know that Davion Mitchell was that good. And people are saying, well, he should be on the All-American list and not Jared Butler. That backcourt of Baylor is loaded with Maceo Tigg, Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell. But I think Houston can give them some push here. I really do. This is nothing will come easy against this Houston because they're known for defense and they're known at the offensive end of getting their own misses. It's going to be a challenge for Baylor, but I still think Baylor's going to squeak this one out. It's going to be a good game, though.
I would agree. And boy, Houston hits the offensive glass so very, very well. And they do a lot of things very well. They shoot the threes, good-looking offensive group. Have not played a team outside of a double digit, though, as of yet. And if Rutgers, like so many teams in this tournament, can make some free throws, Houston wouldn't have been even there.
Yeah, how about teams not being able to make free throws, Arkansas being one of them? I will tell you this story. Now, I went to a Final Four at a clinic that Kelvin Sampson spoke at. This one was back in Oklahoma. And at those clinics, most guys talk about offense, OB plays, this and that. He did a segment called Sooner Toughness Drills. I mean, it was just that. It was like throw the ball out and two dudes diving on it. It was throw the ball up on the rim, block a guy out. It was defensive stuff. I'd never seen him like it. And, I mean, this is a no-nonsense coach in Kelvin Sampson. And look what he's done at Houston. This has been a program, you go back to the Viceland of Jama, how good they were in the early 80s, and they've fallen on hard times. And he's resurrected this program. I did a couple games in his first year there, and they weren't very good at all. But you could tell he had a vision and that he had a culture he was going to establish. And they were going to have an identity, and he certainly has come true to that right now. So I think here's the irony of it. He's playing in Indiana where he got fired for NCAA violations when he was the Hoosier coach.
Yeah, he could probably do a segment on avoiding NCAA issues, right?
Yeah. Well, and the things he got fired for, I think some of those are permissible now, like text messages and so forth. They weren't, I don't know if there were those issues that, it wasn't like there was money being exchanged. It was phone calls and text messages.
Yes, it was.
That's like saying that speed limit was 55 then, Kevin.
It's like an S-curve, huh? Rapids.
Oh, Coach Kevin Lehman joining us here on the Gym Class at 3:36 here in KGYM. And Luca Garza wins his first individual award, AP Player of the Year today. I got 50 of the 63 first place votes for Luca, and great for him. And I think that's just going to be the first of many off-season awards for Luca Garza.
Well, Scott, great for him, and great for Fran McCaffrey for the Iowa program. This will give him a lot of publicity. And obviously, we know there's a big hole in the middle now with Jack Nungy going into the transfer portal, getting closer to home. They're gonna have to dive in that portal to replace those two frontline guys. But Luca certainly deserves all these accolades that are coming his way. And so does Fran McCaffrey, because we remember the story of this guy. Not many people believed in Luca Garza, and Fran is one of those first guys that saw him and saw the potential in Luca Garza and offered that scholarship, and he's going to become part of Iowa lore, Iowa basketball lore, one of the best to ever wear the black and gold.
Last from me, Kevin, I want to talk a little bit about the transfer portal. You mentioned Nungy entering it. Number one, is it out of hand, or is it good that the players can take advantage of it? I mean, you got over 1,000 players declaring right now, and why is it men's basketball that has been so prolific and kids taking advantage of this more so than football, wrestling, women's basketball?
Well, before you say women's basketball, I was going to say basketball is a low participation sport. You got five starters out there. Now, John LeBone, the old Dowling coach, that had Bobby Hansen. I was an assistant with John for 3 years, and he told me only five guys can start. You got 15 on your team, so it's 2-1 against you from the very tip-off of your first day of practice. I never forgot that. Low participation sport. Over 1,000 to Portland. Remember, guys, there's only 350 Division I teams. We know the Elite Eight, they're averaging 4.5 transfers on those Elite Eight teams. And you think, is this good or bad? But when you see what we just saw with Texas Tech hiring Chris Beard, Texas hiring Chris Beard, and the money he's going to get, he's leaving all his recruits behind. He's leaving the guys that committed to him behind. So why can't players do the same thing? You know, that kind of hit me today when I saw this coaching carousel continue to roll along. These coaches are jumping for big money, and we're going to tell these players they have to stay in those programs. I think we're in a new era now where it's going to be freedom of movement for athletes in every sport.
Yeah, you take a look at it. Around 20% of the scholarship players from this past year are now in the transfer portal, and including our guy Noah Carter up at Cedar Falls at UNI, leaving the Panthers.
Well, Scott, he put his name in, and he took it back out.
Oh, I missed that. Okay. Very good. Very good.
Yeah,
then.
So he was in it for about 2 or 3 days, and then Noah Carter decided to stay. Actually, Kyle Green took that job at Iowa State, and then he pulled his name back out. I don't know if there's any – that was just a coincidence. But the first thing you have to do now in the spring when you meet with your players, it's a simple conversation. Are you with us or not? You have to recruit your own players to stay. So it's all about culture, and it's an interesting time in college athletics. And I think not only in men's basketball, I think you'll eventually see this trickle into women's programs and to other sports also, that this transfer portal, because that's the new age of empowerment of the student athlete, the ability to move. And all you have to do is look at these coaches and say, you know, what's Chris Beard going to get in his contract at Texas? It's going to be an astronomical number. Big money. So players should have freedom to move. And I was always against it, but I don't think we can stop this train coming down the tracks.
I would agree. Well, we'll meet up one more time next week when we'll have a national champion to talk about. And I think they might be wearing red and blue, but when you assume something, bad things happen, even on April Fool's Day.
Maybe John Herrera will be in Iowa City by then, too.
Yeah. It'll be fun to watch Tiger Campbell.
True.
That little tie to Cedar Rapids. His dad played at Regis, so it's fun to watch him out there. And he's got one of the best hairdos in the Final Four.
He does. Dad was a heck of a player at Regis, too, Tony.
Yeah, first team All-State, I understand.
Yeah, played at Luther College, too. So a little Decorah and little Cedar Rapids to end the day here today. But enjoy the hoops, Kevin, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, I got to give you a quick update on Iowa softball.
Doing well.
Indiana Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're 10-6. Carolina on the mound is 5-1, and she might take the hill either Friday or Saturday against the Hoosiers.
I would think it would be a pretty big upset if she didn't take the hill, or the mound, or the circle, I guess it is.
Well, our sponsor likes to call it, I think he calls it the hill, so we're going to call it the hill.
All right. Chris says hill, we'll go with hill. All right. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it.
The hill, it's the hill. All right, guys, have a good one. Enjoy the Final Four. We'll talk next week.
All right. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here on the Gym Class here on KGYM. And his segment, Each Basketball Week, brought to you by Chris Lehman at ShootersHomes.com. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the Drake Relays after this here on KGYM.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking, engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while offering superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. You'll spend way less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber can't wait to help you create the deck of your dreams. Stop and see them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
It's time to play ball with BetMGM. Get $1 in free bets for every home run hit on opening day when you wager just $25 on any MLB game on opening day. Don't miss your chance to rack up free bets with every single homer on April 1st. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com for the most exciting action of the new MLB season. You'll also get instant access to the most innovative parlay selection features, live betting options, tons of player props, and daily boosted odds specials. Feel the thrills of opening day by scoring $1 in free bets for every homer when you wager $25 on any MLB game on April 1st. Even if your baseball wager strikes out, you'll still win every time someone knocks it out of the park on opening day. Thanks to BetMGM. Step up to the bettor's box and swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older to wager. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:44 here in KGYM on opening day for 2021. As far as Major League Baseball is concerned, we'll get you updated on that. We'll have Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you coming up in a little bit as well. Scott and Mark, along with Buttons, with you, taking you through this Thursday afternoon. And it is the month of April now. And here in the state of Iowa, the month of April, we look forward to the return this year anyway of the Drake Relays. And the director of the Drake Relays, Blake Bolden, kind enough to join us here this afternoon. It's a little chilly here, but hopefully the weather will be much brighter and better the week and weekend of the relays. Blake, good to have you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Scott. Good to hear your voice, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, sunny day here in Des Moines, but you know, the closer we get to event day, the more I miss the days in which weather was our biggest concern. You know, I'm looking forward to getting back to those in the future, because right now there are a lot of logistical challenges and a lot of obstacles to overcome. But it's an exciting time, no doubt.
Yeah, Blake, one of the big pieces of news I know you put out is fans will be allowed, I assume, on a limited basis. Talk about that, please.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I hope you're doing well, and appreciate that question, because that's the news that seems like everybody in the state has wanted to know for most of the last 3 or 4 months, once they knew that we were planning to have a track meet back in Drake Stadium. And it's not without lots of careful planning. Certainly we'll have a mask mandate and social distancing required. And we're targeting a number about 20% capacity, just based on a seating manifest of having reserved seats 6 feet apart throughout. So similar to what you've seen at other venues across the state. But what that process will look like is, on Tuesday, all those folks that either purchased their tickets last year and they either donated them to the Baton Club, which is our charity here to support the Drake Relays in our efforts, or they deferred their tickets to 2021, they'll get an email beginning on Tuesday, and it'll allow them to determine their seat selection, or if they want to choose to come to the 2021 event. And then next group will be all those previous ticket holders. So if you had a ticket in 2020 and you asked for a refund, or if you bought a ticket in 2019, you'll have a chance beginning on Tuesday, April 13th, to get your seat selection. And then after that, that balance of tickets will be available for the general public. And we'll sell those on a daily basis, meaning on the competition schedule, if you want to come to Thursday, you can buy just a Thursday ticket, and then Friday and Saturday. So certainly all session tickets will be available, particularly to those first two groups. And then with limited capacity and significant demand, or at least anticipated demand, we don't know how many will be available as event day approaches. But you guys, we talk every year. And I do appreciate you guys having me on today, but appreciate you having me on every year to talk about, you know, more than five decades in a row, we've had a Saturday sellout at the Drake Relays. And in terms of a Saturday sellout on a normal year, that's 15,000 tickets. So when you think of 20% of that, we're in that neighborhood of 3,000 or so. And so it'll be a little bit more than 20%, because our capacity is technically 14,700, and then we'll be just over 3,100 tickets available. So all that to be said, if you've got something that has sold out for five decades in a row, and then you cut the capacity by 80%, we do have an expectation that the demand will be very high, but our team is working almost literally around the clock to figure out the best way to safely host as many people as possible.
Yeah, and going to be a great welcome back as far as 2021 is concerned. A lot of recognition as far as USA Track is concerned for you guys and some of your events. And just kind of talk about that and what you're expecting, at least right now, that you know of on April the 1st.
Yeah, not April Fool's Day when we say we expect, you know, as good of a competition as we've ever seen in Drake Stadium. And I truly mean that on every level. The high schoolers, you know, having missed a year, I have every expectation that it's going to be the most competitive Drake Relays we've seen in a long time. And at the professional level, missing 2020 and then having the Olympics moved a year, the excitement and the is extraordinarily high, and the lack of opportunity has been very low. So we have already received unprecedented demand. We will be limiting travel. You have to be quarantined for no less than 10 days if you're coming from an international destination. But what I've seen, Scott, that's been interesting is some folks from Japan are based here this spring because training has been better. Things have been more open than in Japan. A lot of European countries have established training bases here because the American season will start in April and in May, and then they'll continue with June and July back in Europe in the hopes that things will be opened by then there. But so all that to be said, there are many nationalities that have set up training camps, sprinters, jumpers, throwers down in Florida, distance runners in Flagstaff, Arizona. And so there's a lot of highly talented athletes in the U.S. And looking for a competition. And we're one of two silver-level competitions, meaning there are three levels, gold, silver, bronze. And the higher you are on that ranking, so a silver level, you get more world ranking points by participating and finishing in the top six at our event. So the demand is high, and the competition will be incredible.
Many cool things about the Drake Relays, Blake, but one of the cool things in my mind is that high school and middle school athletes get a chance to be on the same competition, the same oval, the same as world-class athletes. To, explain what's in store for those younger kids.
Yeah, and you're right. And that's one of those things that we cherish, and it's been part of the history of the Drake Relays for more than a century, that Iowa high school athletes get to compete alongside the world's best. This year, it's been extraordinarily challenging to continue to host high school, to be very candid. When we think of our peer events nationally, there's the Florida Relays, the Texas Relays, the Penn Relays, the Kansas Relays, and a few others, very, very limited, but a few others that come to people's mind. We are the only one of those organizations that chose to continue to pursue hosting high school athletes. And that was in large part because the National Federation of High School Sports and their COVID protocols are very different than what is required at the NCAA or any collegiate level. So, but we decided early on we were committed to it because it's so important to us here in Iowa and here at Drake University. But then it became more interesting. So then we knew we had to pull them away and have them as a separate competition. And we thought at first that was due to COVID reasons. And it truly was. The testing requirements and the basic protocols varied greatly. So that remains true. But then early in 2021, the NCAA announced that they were extending the recruiting dead period, meaning that means no on-campus or off-campus recruiting contact can take place in any sport. So that also means that no, and a nuance of this and an interpretation I received just more than 6 weeks ago from our director of compliance, no athletic department staff can be have any role in the conduct, administration, or promotion of any event that includes prospective student athletes. So that's fancy NCAA words for saying the director of the Drake Relays can't be involved with the high school Drake Relays. So when I got that news, quickly set about recreating an organizational chart to manage the event from start to finish that includes no Drake employees, all volunteers, and a few subcontractors. And I'm proud to say that this group has done an extraordinary job of preparing us and getting everything ready to preserve this opportunity for Iowa high school kids.
And the you will now conduct the high school events for this year in one day on Thursday of Relays Week.
That's exactly right. Yep. So we had to pull that out on Thursday. So it will not be that integrated competition that I personally cherish so much, but it will be on Thursday, April 22nd, and I won't even get to see any of it. So I will be probably across the street in my office, holed up, just trying to keep things together for the rest of the weekend. And then a couple hours after the high school ends. So, in fact, as Mark referenced, high school will go from, I'd have to even look. I think it's about 9 a.m. to about 4 o'clock. Then we have a couple middle school races. Then we'll have a two-hour break so that then there's no intersecting of the untested population of high school and middle school athletes and then the university Division I athletes that will come for the distance carnival that we hold every year on Thursday night. And then that's when I'll kick into full gear and kind of take the reins back of the event. And then it's all rolling downhill from there with a new format where we'll have our small colleges. So, you know, those in your neck of the woods, Coe College and Cornell College, that non-Division I schools, mostly in the state of Iowa, but from all over the Midwest, they'll compete Friday and Saturday morning, and then Friday afternoon and evening, and Saturday afternoon will be Division I and also our invitational event.
Awesome. A lot of planning goes into the typical Turek relays even more this year. I know, Blake, with everything going on, still working with getting people in there with the pandemic. Now you got to work with the high school athletes and work that around as far as nobody from Drake. So I don't envy you, man, but it'll all be worthwhile when it's all over, right?
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, it's certainly an opportunity for us all to feel that events are back. I don't anticipate that it's going to feel normal, but now for, you know, this is the 112th year of the Drake Relays, and only the 111th running, with, of course, 2020 being a historic absence in that streak. And to restart that streak and continue that tradition is an important part of who we are as Iowans. And we're thrilled to have it and to welcome these athletes at all levels back to Drake Stadium.
Awesome. Hey, Blake, always enjoy talking relays with you, and have a great one. And best of luck to everything in Des Moines coming up this year.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Scott. Great to hear your voice. All the best to you guys, too. Thank you very much.
All right. Blake Bolden, the director of the Drake Relays, joining us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And we go from track and field to bowling, Mark. It's time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up, and it's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the home of Bowling Night in America, which saw a Gonzaga-like performance, not by the nails, last night.
No, that was by Durline scale, and they whipped us pretty good last night, 24-6. But the good news is we remain in fourth place in the adult Evergreen League. And one of those nights where we didn't have a bad night, just got beat by a better team that had a better night. So it is what it is, 3 weeks left in the season, and we'll try to get back on the winning side next week.
Yes, we will. And, yeah, some good performances last night as well.
Indeed, Joel Donner, we mentioned his name about as much as yours and mine, Scott. Joel with a 299, a 286, and an 811 series. He had the top two high games and the top series. On a night that, you know, sometimes we see half a dozen or more 700s, it was just Joel and Kevin Klein with a 737. Of course, Kevin bowled against us. but great night for those guys. And if you have like to partake at May City, give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website maycitybowlcr.com.
Yep. And our own former All-Stater Jason Cole with a big night last night too. Tip of the hat to him. Did a great job. Baseball. It is the Twins on 107.5 FM. They are in the sixth inning, leading the Brewers 3-2. Cubs right now down to the Pirates, 3-2, that in the sixth inning. Cardinals with a sixth spot in the first, 7-1 over the Reds right now. The Rangers and the Royals are 5-5 in the first. I don't know what to think of Cal right now.
That's not going to please the Kansas City Royals pitching coach.
No, but the hitting coach is very happy. That is 5-5. And we got the Astros and A's coming up a little bit later on. Zach Johnson right now at even par at the Valero Texas Open. Dan Shock, our last scouting service, joins us tomorrow. Mark, have a good night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Yeah, talk to you then.
Todd and Alex are next. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious.